for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, or Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
This is a Friday morning service of September the 2nd, 1994, of the Labor Day Camp Meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Tommy Cook is the speaker for the morning.
You better get a pencil and paper. Don't try to follow. He'll got more scriptures than you can find. You need to write them down. And a lot of you have never met Brother Tommy, never heard him minister. He's a prophet of the Lord, ministers under the anointing of the Holy Ghost by the Word, which you will find out in a few minutes. He's got more places in here to turn his Bible to than Carter's got pills. Because this is better than the Carter's pills. Amen. So Brother Tommy will conclude the morning service somewhere around 12:15 to 12:30. And then we'll eat and go to the next meeting. Amen. Brother Tommy.
Praise the Lord. Bless you. Let's stand together, please. Thank you, Lord. Are we on? Okay. Father, we thank you again today, Lord, for this precious time we have together. We thank you for your people that have come from many long distance, Lord. We thank you for their safety for coming. We thank you for what you're going to speak in this meeting, Lord God. We bless your people. We encourage and ask the Holy Spirit to strengthen us today, Lord. Without you, we're nothing. We can do nothing. Lord God, we submit to the Holy Ghost. We choose to go down in your sight, Lord. Again, without you, we are nothing, but we trust in you, Lord, that you will move among us today. We bless the ministers here today. We bless you, Lord, most of all. And we all said in Jesus' name, amen. God bless you. I said last night something. I said, where is the battle? So where is the battle? In your mind. How do you know it's in your mind? Because of the battle you're in. What are we going to do about it? Turn to Psalms 55. And let's look at some scriptures together. May God bless you as we go into the Word this morning. How many enjoyed the meeting last night?
Amen.
Precious meeting last night. Praise the Lord. Enjoyed the Word of the Lord from the brethren. Psalms 55, David is seeking the Lord, and he says, give ear to my prayer, O God. Hide not thyself from my supplication. Again, how many know God hides for a period of time and sometimes in our life?
Amen.
And he hides in order to get us seeking his face. There are many reasons, but that's just one. Attend to me, hear me, I mourn in my complaint and make a noise. And haven't we all done that? Now here's why David's crying out to God. Because of the voice, come on, of the
enemy.
Now we know God has a voice, and yet the enemy has a voice. And where does that voice come? It comes right to your mind, doesn't it? The attack comes upon your mind. And because of the oppression of the wicked, I don't believe God puts oppression upon us, but I believe the enemy does. And how many know we have to stand against oppression? Depression, come on. Obsession, possession, repression, whatever. For they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. Now notice how David was affected. My heart is pained within, he says. Terrors of death have fallen upon me. And fearfulness and trembling have come upon. Horror, fear took hold of David. Sounds like he had a nervous breakdown. But look at the next verse, in verse 6 here. He said, I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove. For then would I fly away and be at rest. I mean, you know, that's on most Christians' mind today, to fly away. Well, how many know we can have rest right here in the Lord as we allow God to do a work in our souls? The key is your mind today. The battle is in the mind. And we must submit our minds, our wills, our desires, and our emotions to God. And God wants to change us. How many know that there are many things we think that's not God? Many things we feel is not God. Many things we desire is not God. God wants to change us. Amen.
Amen.
And deliver us. Amen. Not only from our own sins and iniquities, but from our bloodline bondages. Come on, somebody say amen.
Amen.
From the sins of our fathers. Amen. And the Lord dealt with me on three things. Repent of idolatry, repent of iniquity, and repent of submitting to familiar spirits in our bloodline. How many know the word familiar has to do with family? But the last four letters of familiar is what? Liar. How many know that familiar spirits are lying spirits? Come on. Come on, somebody say amen. Amen. And so, David said, oh, if I could just be like that little dove, I would just fly away and be at rest. Hallelujah. Hey, and we would, wouldn't we? And I'm not, how many know that when we die, we do go to be with the Lord? Thank God for that. But we're not going to get out of the trouble if God's destined us to be here in the trouble. Isn't that right? I wrote this down. Many do not want to take the kingdom by force, but they want to sit in the rapture rockers and reach for the blast-off button. Well, I believe it's true. I believe it's true. How many has ever had that mentality? About most of us. Amen. And when God says you've got to grow up, and we find out that we're not going up, how many know something's going to blow up? And others will throw up. But thank God, to go up in God, in the Spirit, you've got to grow up. Can you say amen? We've got to get our souls saved today. Hallelujah. Then the next thing he said, lo, I would wander far off and remain out there by myself in the wilderness. Selah. Pause, reflect, think what's been said. We like to get off by ourselves many times and from everybody else. Verse 8, I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and tempest. Destroy, O Lord, divide their tongues. I've seen violence and strife. Where? Where did he see it at? What city? This city right here. He saw it right here. He had a vision of himself. He had a revelation of himself. How many know that's dangerous? To get a revelation of yourself. But that's what we need. And he saw it right here. Day and night they go about it upon the walls. Mischief and sorrow are in the midst of this city. Wickedness, he said, deceit, guile departs not from her streets. Now look up to verse 16, please. David said, as for me, I will call upon God. How many know God's our answer? Oh, yes. And the Lord shall save. Somebody said, well, I've already been saved. Well, you got to get your soul saved. Your spirit's saved, but your soul's got to get saved. Evening and morning, and at noon will I pray and cry aloud. I like what Speed said last night. There is really no silent prayer many times. God wants us to speak to him. Amen. Praise. Of course, you can think on the Lord. And he shall hear my voice. He hath delivered my soul in peace from what? The battle that was against me, for there were many with me. I mean, no, there are more for us than there are against us. Now look in Psalms 22. So the battle, we know, brethren, is in our minds today. Your mind and my mind. Praise God. And how many know as we get closer to the Lord, we feel the fire of God? Because God is a consuming fire. And he wants to burn out of us all those things. Amen. And deliver us from those things that we don't need. Now in Psalms 22, David's crying out to God about his soul. And we mentioned this last night. He said, deliver my soul from the sword. And there's many things I could talk about when I deal with the sword and the soul. But I want you to hold your place and go to Leviticus 26 here. And I want to deal with this in a positive way, though. Look in chapter 26 of Leviticus. And we'll look at verse 1. How many know that idolatry brings the third and fourth generation of curse upon us? We know that scripture. But in chapter 26, and by the way, in this chapter, 1 through 13 are the blessings of God. 14 through 39 are curses. And verse 40 through 46 is repentance and restoration. But in verse 1 he says, ye shall make you no idols or graven image. Neither rear you up a standing image, neither shall you set up an any image of stone in your land. Now that was the physical land. But how many know we have a lot of images in this land today?
Yes.
We have a lot of idolatry here. A lot of things in us that are idols. And God said, I want you to deal with that. Neither shall you set up, he said, those in your land to bow down unto it, for I am the Lord your God. You shall keep my Sabbaths and reverence my what?
Sanctuary.
I mean, no, that's this right here, this place right here. We are God's sanctuary. We are God's habitation. Amen? We are God's temple today. I am the Lord. If you walk in my statutes and keep my commandments and do them, then, he said, I will give you rain in due season. How many is ready for a season of rain? Amen. I think most of us. Amen. And the land shall yield her increase and so forth. Now, verse 6. Look at last part of verse 5, excuse me. He said, notice, you'll dwell in your land safely. How many know that today there's so much war in our streets? Come on, in our neighborhood. And wherever we go, even in America. But God said, I'll bring you to a place where your land's safe. How many know he can do that? Now look at the next verse. I will give peace in the land. Not confusion, not turmoil, but peace. That's the kingdom. And you shall lie down and none shall make you afraid. And I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Now God said, if you'll deal with those idols in your land, I'll give you rain and I'll rid evil beasts from your land. How many believe we need some evil beasts cast out of us? Come on. The powers of darkness. Amen? Out of the land. Neither shall the sword, this is war now, neither shall the sword go through your land. And yet David is praying in Psalms 22, Lord, deliver my soul from the sword. David was feeling the sword in his mind. Come on, in his will, his emotions, his desires. And yet God said, I'll give peace in the land. You'll lie down, none shall make you afraid. I will rid evil beasts out of the land. Neither shall the sword go through your land. And you shall chase your enemies. That's a switch, isn't it? They're on the run. How many know we're on the offense? Amen, and they're running. Glory. Notice. And it says here, and they shall fall before you by the sword, by the word of God, and so forth. So God wants us. Now look down to verse 10, 11, and 12. And God said, you shall keep old store, bring forth the old because of the new, and I will set my tabernacle among you. My soul shall not abhor you. I will walk among you, will be your God. You shall be my people. So God wants peace in our land. God wants you to dwell safely. Amen? And God wants to do a work in you where he can dwell and move in and through you. Now back in Psalms 22, he said, deliver my soul. Deliver my soul. That's personal. My soul from the sword. My darling. Your soul is a darling. And that is a feminine word, female word. And we said last night that the soul is the female. Amen? Look in Psalms 34 and I'll show it to you. Psalms 34, please look at verse 2. David said, my soul shall make her boast, come on, in the Lord, the humble shall hear thereof and be glad. So your soul is a feminine, or female part of you, isn't it? And that soul must submit to Christ that's in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Just as the church submits, which is a woman, submits to Jesus. And the wife of the natural submits to the husband. I mean, that's a beautiful relationship when that takes place. So, David is crying out for his soul, for this darling. Praise God. Now, look over in Psalms 35. Look in Psalms 35, and he says the soul is a darling again. Psalms 35, verse 17. Lord, how long will thou look on? And I think we've all asked the Lord that many questions, many times. How long, Lord, is this going to happen to me? Rescue my soul from their destructions, my darling, there it is again, from the lions. Now, first it's the dogs and the lions. Now, there's a message and all that, which I'm not going into. Now, go over now to Psalm 74. Psalm 74. There's so much we're just skipping over, but that's all right. Psalms, I believe it's 74. And look at verses 19. Psalm 74, 19. And notice what it says. Oh, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove. So now the soul is a turtle dove. Unto the multitude of the wicked, forget not the congregation of thy poor forever. But notice, deliver not the soul of thy turtle dove unto the multitude of the wicked. How many know that the dove is swift in flight? Come on, be swift to hear, huh? But slow to wrath. Isn't that right? Slow to speak, slow to wrath. And a dove will not fight back. How many know Jesus said, be harmless as doves, but what else? Amen. Now, we know a dove can only see one thing at a time, single vision. Jesus said, if your eye be single, your whole body shall be full of light. A dove doesn't have a gallbladder, which means no bitterness. No bitterness. How many know bitterness will defile us? Come on. It'll spring up, defile us, and defile many others. And we have to deal with that root of bitterness that gets into us sometimes. Praise the Lord. We know that a dove will not just roost any place. We saw that in the time of Noah. As the raven went out and the dove went out, the dove came back with an olive leaf. And he would not land on dead flesh. But the raven stayed gone. Amen. The dove has no talents. Neither do we apart from God. He's not a bird of prey. He feeds on grains and berries. How many know it's important that we eat good food?
Amen.
It's important to eat the right kind of food. Amen. And a dove will not remarry. He's faithful to its mate. And we must be faithful to the Lord. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. He's a clean bird. He takes many baths. And of course, he can soar into the heavenlies and so forth. Turn to Psalm 7 now. I want to give you a couple more scriptures, and I want to go to the New Testament. We're just touching a few things. But in Psalm 7, we read this last night. How many know that our souls can be rent and torn? How many has ever felt your soul was torn and rent? I can raise my hands twice. I'd do it, but my Bible's fall apart here. So I'm holding it together. But look in Psalms, verse 1. O Lord, my God, in thee do I put my trust. Save me from all them that persecute me. Deliver me, lest he tear my soul like a lion, rending it the soul in pieces while there is none to deliver. But thank God, God is raising up the ministry of deliverance across the earth. Amen? I thank God for deliverance. It's helped my life many times. I have believed in it for many years. Well, just about ever since I was a Christian, become a Christian. I believed in deliverance. I believe it's real. And I believe God showed me that the end time people and deliverance must come together like two hands. And we need deliverance today. How many know it's not just all deliverance, but we need deliverance. It's part of the kingdom, isn't it? We need that part. We need all the whole counsel of God. Amen. We need it all. But thank God. So when a soul is rent in pieces, it disrupts the homes. It disrupts marriages. It brings trouble in the family. It produces insanity, we know many times. We said last night that he makes the diviners mad. And I said, be careful who lays hands upon you. You've got to make sure that not everybody can just run up and lay hands upon you suddenly. How many know that things are imparted? And we can get hit that way. I've got hit at times when people laid hands on me and every bone in my body ached. Well, how many know when you get hit a few times, you back up a little bit and say, hey, wait just a minute. You know? Can you say amen?
Amen.
And you know, brethren, when there's a fragmented soul, it ties up the time of the family as well. Medical, the people are tied to doctors, they're tied to psychiatrists, they're tied to medicine. They're tied to, to a lot of things. And so early death, there's a lot of things we could talk about. Now let's go to the New Testament. Go to Revelation 12. Praise God. Revelation 12. How many believe God's raising up the overcomers? And as Jack prophesied this morning, the overcomers are those who've come over. Things just come over them. Well, I guarantee if you're going to be an overcomer, you've been overcome first in many things. Isn't that right? Amen. It'd be nice just to say I've overcome every obstacle, but usually obstacles have overcome us. And we got up and went back at it, and God is helping us to overcome. Not in our strength, but in His. But here in chapter 12, we know in verse 4, it says the tail of the dragon drew the third part of the stars of heaven and did cast them to the earth. Now, we're looking at an end time scene. I believe a lot of these things are happening now, has happened, and are going to happen. And how many know that the real star we need to know today is Jesus? He is the star. He's the morning star. And so as this tail, and by the way, in this chapter, there's the tail, there's the face, and what is one other part? Oh, the mouth. And all three are against the church. All three are against the church of Jesus Christ. How many know we need to be against him? Amen. Now notice, he cast these stars of heaven down to the earth, and the dragon stood before the woman. Now, he's not after the woman at this time, even though he stands before the woman. He's after her child. He's after the overcomer. Now, of course, he hates all of God's people. He'd like to destroy us all, as far as that goes. But at this time, he's after the man-child, the one that she's going to bring forth. But notice, the dragon stood before the woman that was ready to be what? Delivered to devour, literally eat up her child as soon as it was born. And I remember one morning I woke up and as I woke up, the Spirit brought that last part to me. He was going to devour her child as soon as it was born. And God said to me, that is the birthing of the soul. That is that maturity of God coming into the mind, the will, the emotions, and the desires of the people of God. How many want your soul to be born? Hallelujah. Anew. Huh? Amen. Amen. And so, the Lord showed me here, as this man-child took on the mind of Christ, sealed by God, maturity, whatever you want to call it, mind renewed, changed, restored, then we know in verse 5 that God took the man-child to the throne. Look at verse 5 now. She brought forth a man-child who was to what? Rule, literally shepherd, all nations. Now, the nations aren't in heaven. Huh? They're here, aren't they? To shepherd all nations with a rod of iron. I mean, oh, that's real authority. Now, look in chapter 2. There's a lot of new people here, so we want to touch on some of these things. In chapter 2, look in 26. And the Bible said, he that overcometh. The word overcometh means to conquer, to prevail, or get the victory over. And keep up my works to the end, to him, the overcomer, will I give power over what? The nations. And he, the overcomer, shall rule or shepherd them with a rod of iron. As the vessels of a potter shall they, the nations, be broken to shivers. That means in small pieces. Even as I received of my Father. So the Father gave the same promise to Jesus, and Jesus is giving this promise to the overcomer. Amen? And I will give him, the overcomer, the morning star. Hallelujah. In Revelation 22:16, Jesus said, I am the morning star. Hallelujah. He's the only star we have. Hallelujah. He is the star. Now, so the man shall, this birthing takes place in Revelation 12:4. The tail is drawing stars down from the heavens to the earth. Now go to Isaiah 9. We see this tail. Isaiah chapter 9 in the book of Isaiah. Did I say Isaiah? Okay, thank you. Isaiah chapter 9, and we want to see what this tale is. In verse 14, it said, therefore the Lord will cut off from Israel head and tail, branch and rush in one day. The ancient or the elder and the honorable, he's the head, and the prophet that teacheth lies, he's the tail. So what is Satan going to use at the end of this age, brethren? False prophets. Prophets who are teaching lies. And believe me, the land is full of them. Don't shout me down. That's true. For the leaders of this people cause them to err, and they that are led of them are destroyed. If we follow that line, Spirit will destroy us. Look in Jeremiah 14:14, please. Let's look at this tail ministry. Jeremiah 14:14. Hallelujah. 14:14 of Jeremiah. And it says this. The Lord said to me, the prophets prophesy lies in my name. I sent them not. It'd be awful if some of them had to send back their bus ticket or train ticket or airplane ticket. Come on. I sent them not, neither have I commanded them, neither spake unto them. They prophesy unto you a false vision. How many know that brings false hope? It brings a false expectation. And there's a lot of people that's looking for something to be fulfilled that will never be fulfilled because it was not the Holy Ghost. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Hallelujah. And he said, notice this, divination or witchcraft and a thing of naught and the deceit of their own heart. Now look back to chapter 5 of Jeremiah. Chapter 5, please, of Jeremiah. And verse 31. There's so much in chapter 5. And there's a reason why the outpouring of the Holy Spirit has not come to many because of iniquity. But down in verse 31, the prophets prophesied falsely. The priests bear rule by their means, and my people love to have it so. What will you do in the end thereof? And that's where we are. We're in the end of the age. And yet, brethren, we have to have some discernment. Amen? Amen. So back in chapter 12, we see a revelation. We see that the man-child has come to maturity in the Lord and has taken on the mind of Christ, been sealed by God. Chapter 12, verse 5, we see the man-child is caught up to the throne of God, to God and to His throne. How many know that's the position of the overcomer?
Yes.
Revelation chapter 3 tells us. And so these are overcomers. They have come over many things and been approved by God. And then what happens, verse 6, the woman goes into the wilderness, into her testing time. This is the church. But look at verse 6. The woman fled into the wilderness. How many of the wilderness is real today?
Yes.
Now listen, brethren. There are people that's getting ready to come out, and there's some getting ready to go in. I hope I'm one that's coming out of some things. How about you?
Amen.
Song of Solomon tells us there's some coming out of the wilderness. Amen. Amen. But some are coming out and some are going in. What a revelation. Amen. What an experience. But the woman fled into the wilderness where she hath a place prepared of God. God's prepared this testing time. God, the devil didn't prepare it. God prepared it. Come on. Amen.
Amen.
That they, the word they, are the people in verse 5. The man child should feed, nourish her. 1,203 days, which is 3.5 years. So thank God. God is going to... He's not going to forsake His people. He's not going to leave His people. He's going to feed them, nourish them, amen, and mature them as well, praise God. Thank you, Jesus. And then we see something else happening. When this man-child goes to the throne and the woman goes to be tested and she's being fed, look in verse 7. How many know war is breaking out? We're already feeling the effects of this warfare, brethren. It's not something well out there. It's happening now. There are things going on now. The war is on now. And as Brother Speed said last night, this is a real war.
Amen.
Amen. Look at verse 7. There was war in heaven. How many know that war is in you? That your war is in you. That war is in me. Amen. In your heaven. Come on. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon. And the dragon fought and his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. And he was cast out into the earth. His angels were cast out with him. Now look at verse 10. How many know the kingdom's coming? The kingdom's coming. Hallelujah. I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation. How many know that's deliverance? And strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of His Christ, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they, the overcomers, overcame Him by the blood of the Lamb, the word of the testimony. Love not their lives unto the death. They didn't love their soul life. Amen. Hallelujah. And they overcame Him, praise God, by the blood of Jesus. Now, listen to this. Look back just a minute. Go back to verse 1. I want to show you something. There appeared a great sign. Where? In heaven. A woman clothed with the sun. Now we know that's not the natural sun. But how many know that represents the glory of God? God is going to clothe His people with His glory. Isaiah 60 said, the glory shall be seen upon a people. Amen?
Amen.
How many believe that we must experience that transfiguration that Jesus had?
Amen.
That ex anastasis resurrection power that's within that comes to the without. An explosion from within to without. And that's where he wants to take us to. Hallelujah.
It,
now look at this. This woman clothed with the sun, the moon under her feet. Something is under her feet. And upon her head a crown of 12 stars. I mean, there were 12 apostles. God is going to bring back apostolic authority in his church. And so she is clothed with glory. She has dominion over the old order of things. And notice there's a crown of 12 stars. And I wrote this down today. A church pregnant with the church standing on the old church order. I want to say it again. A church pregnant, that's the woman, the church, pregnant with the church, the overcomer, standing on the old church order. Can you hear that? Hallelujah. One day in the woman, the next day, some have moved into the man-child. Are you hearing that? And those who didn't break into the man-child realm, God will take into the wilderness and feed and nourish her and get her ready for the coming of Jesus. Anybody can understand that?
Amen.
Now I want to show you this experience. Look in verse 5 again. Look in verse 5 again. And she brought forth a man-child who was to rule all nations with a rod of iron. Her child was caught up to God and to his throne. Now when did that happen? When the man-child was born. When maturity had taken place. When the soul had been redeemed. Are you hearing that? Now. Praise God. I want to show you this experience in verse 5 and three other scriptures, although I didn't just say it like this, but I want to show you. God gave it to me by revelation. Look in Revelation 11 and look at verse 3. Revelation 11, 3. Praise the Lord. How many know that trouble's getting ready to break out? Fire's getting ready to come. But how many know we don't have to fear anything but fear itself?
Amen.
We need to fear God.
Amen.
Amen. But here in chapter 11, we know that John is measuring the temple of God, the real temple of God. This isn't a Middle East temple. This isn't a building made with hands. You know, if they tore that Mask of Omar down, there would be such war in that Middle East. But if they tore it down, and the Jews did rebuild a natural temple, they'd go back to sacrifice it. But God's not going to let that happen. You know, Jesus walked out of the temple. He said, first of all, he said, my Father's house. My house, and when he said your house, he walks out of it. You ever see that in Matthew 23? Walks out of that natural temple. He said, I'm through with that. And all this building, all these bricks and all this mortar, you see, it's going to come crumbling down. But I'm going to rebuild a new temple. Hallelujah. Not a brick and mortar, but it's going to be a people. And so here, John is seeing this real temple. And he said, rise and measure the temple of God. And we have to come up to the measurement of the stature of the fullness of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Ephesians 4 says, the altar, the place of worship, and them that worship therein. So in verse 1, somebody's measured, somebody's worshiping the Lord. I want to tell you, God's raising up worshipers.
Yes.
We thank God for prayer, thank God for praise, but God wants some worshipers in the land.
Yes.
We hear a lot of prayer. Thank God for that. And I believe in that. We hear a lot of praise, and I thank God for that. But I don't hear too much worship. That's what God wants. That's the highest order, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Look at verse 2. But the court, this outer court that's without this temple, leave it out, measure it not. It's given to the heathen. That's what it says. The word Gentiles is used, but it's heathen. Come on. And the holy city shall they tread underfoot 42 months. That's 3.5 years. So while the man-child is ministering to the church, somebody else is getting trampled down. The outer court, if you live in that state, how many of you are going to get run over? Come on. If you live in the outer court and you want to remain there, you're going to get run over. Amen. Now notice what he says here. Here's verse 3. Here's the verse I'm coming to. Here's what I see in Revelation 12:5. I will give power to my two martyrs. These are not two men. They're not two men. I knew a man that had a vision not long ago, and he saw a big tree of olives, big plush olives. And those olives turned into faces, and the faces, when they begin to speak, they begin to prophesy. Hallelujah. He said, I heard the prophetic word as I've never heard it before in that vision. And God brought him to this chapter. Now, he said, I will give power to my two martyrs, and they shall prophesy 1,200 and 80 days clothed in sackcloth, which means they're in a flesh and blood body. They're not in a glorified body here.
Right.
No, sir. Now, we see the man-child is ministering to the woman. We see somebody's being trampled down, and yet during this powerful time, somebody's prophesying the word of the Lord. Can you say amen?
Amen.
Now look in Revelation 13 just a minute. But that Revelation 11:3, there goes to Revelation 12:5. But go over to chapter 7 just a minute, 13 rather, and I want to look at a verse here during this time of tribulation. Revelation 13:5, there was given unto him a mouth speaking great things and blasphemies, and power was given unto him to continue 42 months. And he opened his mouth and blasphemed against God, to blaspheme his name, his tabernacle, and them that dwell in heaven. And it was given unto him to make war with who? The saints. Where are the saints going to be? Here on the earth. And notice, to overcome them, and power was given, my Bible spit there. there was power given him over all kindreds, tongues, and nations. So let's look at it again. The man child is ministering to the woman in the wilderness, right? The outer court people is being trampled down. The overcomers are prophesying. And the beast is in power, warring against the saints. Now go to Daniel. Go to Daniel 7. Hallelujah. Daniel chapter 7. I mean, the Lord's going to give us all more instructions than what we need, what we have, rather. What we have. We need more instruction. Revelation 7. And we know verse 18. The saints are going to take the kingdom of God. And how many will take the kingdom? You have to be a violent person in the spirit. Amen. It's not just going to come to you because you believe it. You've got to take it. You've got to wrestle. You've got to fight. Come on. You've got to war in the spirit now. Now look down to verse 21. I beheld the same horn made war with the saints and prevail against them. There is a bestial system arising that's against the church. We see it in our nation. We see it in the world. Notice, until, how long is this going to happen? Until the Ancient of Days came, or Christ comes in a people. Literally. And judgment was given to who? The saints of the Most High. That's also mentioned in Revelation chapter 20. And the time came that the saints possessed the kingdom. Now look at verse 25. And he shall speak great words against the Most High, shall wear out the saints of the Most High. How many feel like that today? Some you've been worn out. I think we all do. But it means to wear them out mentally, to afflict them, to beat them down, to wear out the saints of the Most High, and think to change times and laws. How many know that our laws are changing in America? When you come out against or for abortion, come on, and for homosexuals, how many know laws have changed from the government? When you bring homosexuals in the White House as our president, something's happened. Notice. And they shall be given into his hand, these saints. How long? Come on. A time, times, and dividing of time. But, don't stop there. The judgment shall sit, and they, the saints, shall take away his dominion to consume and destroy it even to the end. I mean, all the overcomers are going to overcome. Now, we said back in Revelation 12:5 that the man-child is taken to the throne. We see in Revelation 11:3, God's given the man-child this resurrection power, this ex anastasis power from within to without. And they're going to go out throughout the nations and ministering. I want to show you this in another scripture, then I'll come back to the New Testament. Go to Zechariah 10. Now, Jack has a book out on this on the, what is the name of that horse company there? That book you have back there? Yeah, Goodly Horse. Let's go to Zechariah 10. I think Jack ministered that once here, didn't you, Jack?
Yeah.
Zechariah chapter 10, and let's look at a scripture here.
on this army of God. Zechariah 10. And how many believe God is raising up an army? I believe it. And so the prophet said, here, ask you of the Lord rain in the time of the latter rain. Now, in this time of the latter rain, how many know we're dealing with the third day principle from Jesus? Because we're coming to the third day. We're dealing with the Zion people. We're dealing with restoration. We're dealing with the Feast of Tabernacles. Amen? So there's a lot of things here, but he's saying, asking and telling us to pray in the time of the latter rain for the rain. Now, verse 2. He said, for the idols have spoken vanity, and the diviners have seen a lie. So when God's ready to pour out his spirit, we see idolatry, and we see fortune tellers in the land. I mean, on the Old Testament, when there was real prophets, they rid the land of some of those things. Amen. How many know we need to see a riddance to the heavens? Come on. And notice, they told false dreams, they comforted in vain, therefore they went their way as a flock. They were troubled because there was no shepherd. We need some shepherds in the land. God's raising some up. Thank God. Now look at verse 3. Mine anger was kindled against the shepherds. I punished the goats, for the Lord of hosts has visited his flock, the house of praisers, or Judah, and hath made them as his goodly horse. Where? Where, brethren? In the time of battle, God has a goodly horse company. Now look over in Proverbs 20 or 21. I got to find it here. I got all these scriptures coming to me if I can get to them. Hallelujah. Look in chapter 20 or 21. Somebody may have to help me here. Praise the Lord. Okay, chapter 21, 31. Here's this horse that God's raising up. It's not a natural horse. It's a people. The horse is prepared, and that's the... I mean, no, that's the name of the game, preparation. The horse is prepared against the day of battle. I mean, no, the day of the Lord's coming. Amen. That is the day of battle. That's that evil day, Paul said. You've got to have the armor on and take the armor with you. But safety is of the Lord. So we know to go into battle, you've got to know your weapons. You've got to have the armor of God on. You've got to know your enemy. You've got to know that God's leading you in the battle, and you've got to be prepared for the battle. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
Now back in Zechariah 10, God said, in the time of this battle, I'm going to raise up this goodly horse in this battle. And verse 4 of chapter 10, out of him came forth the corner, out of him the nail, out of him the battle, bow, out of him every oppressor together. Verse 5, and they shall be as mighty men. So what kind of men is God raising up today? David had mighty men, which was a picture of the overcomers. And God's raising up mighty men and women in the Lord. Now let's see these in Isaiah 13. Let's turn to Isaiah 13 together, please. Hallelujah. How many love the Word of God?
Amen.
Amen. Isaiah 13, verse 3. And the Lord says in verse 3 of Isaiah 13, I have commanded my sanctified ones. I have also called my mighty ones. For mine anger, this is why God's raising up the mighty ones. For mine anger, even them that rejoice in my highness, the noise of a multitude in the mountains, like as of a great people, a tumultuous noise of kingdoms, of nations gathered together. The Lord of hosts mustereth the host of the battle. God's going to bring forth this battle, isn't he? God's raising up this battle, amen? God's raising up this war. Now look at verse 5. They come from a far country. Now what's this scripture? They come from a far country. How many know we're going to have forces joining us here? I'm going to show it to you in just a minute. They come from a far country, from the end of heaven, even the Lord and the weapons of his indignation to destroy the whole land. Now look in Mark's Gospel 13. Hallelujah. Mark 13. Thank you, Jesus. And look at verse 27. Then shall he send his angels, shall gather together his chosen or his elect from the four winds, from the uttermost part of what? The earth, even to the uttermost part of heaven. God has an army there, God has an army here, and he's going to bring us together. Look in Ephesians 1:10. Let's read it, brethren. It says here, notice.
that in the dispensation of the fullness of times he might gather together in one all things in Christ. Now that's the key.
Hallelujah.
Christ comes in us, but we've got to move in Christ. We've got to move in the anointed one. He's got to cover us. Both which are in heaven and which are on earth, even in him. Those that are in Christ.
Hallelujah.
Not everybody's moving in Christ. Not everybody's moving in the anointing. Come on, amen. But thank God for those that are. Now back to Zechariah. So God says here in Zechariah 10 that they are mighty men. And look at verse 5. He says, which tread down their enemies. Not each other. Their enemies. We have some enemies we have to put under our feet. Satan must be bruised. Come on, crushed. Under our feet shortly. How many know that scripture? And they shall fight because the Lord, here's the reason. The Lord is with them, and the riders on horses shall be confounded. That's another horse coming. Put to shame. Now look at verse 6. I will strengthen the house of Judah, the praisers. I will save the house of Joseph. How many know he was given an extra portion? Huh? He was given that double portion, we'd say ministry. I will bring them again to place them. I have mercy upon them, and they shall be as though I had not cast them off. I am the Lord their God, will hear them. And they have Ephraim. This is double fruit now. Ephraim is double fruit. Shall be like a mighty man, and their heart shall rejoice as through wine. Yea, their children shall see it and be glad. Their heart shall rejoice in the Lord. And I will hiss, literally whistle, or call. Listen, God's about ready to whistle. Hallelujah. I will hiss for them and gather them. I have redeemed them. That's Revelation 14. They have been redeemed from the earth, this army. And they shall increase as they have increased. How many believe that we need to mature more today than we did yesterday? Come on. God's increasing. And I will sow them among the people, and they shall remember me in far countries. I literally believe God will pick this army up and thrust them around the world. And revival fires will break out worldwide when this happens. The key is this remnant being raised up, I believe. And God is going to raise up. Notice, I'm going to hiss for them. Now go to Isaiah 5 and we'll see this. Isaiah 5, we see it right here. Hallelujah. Isaiah chapter 5. And look at verse 26. Isaiah 5, 26. And he shall lift up an ensign to the nations from far and will hiss, there it is, unto them from the end of the earth. And behold, they shall come with speed swiftly. Listen, this army is going to hear the voice of God. And this army is going to move fast and quick. Amen? Hallelujah. How many want to be in that great army? I don't want to come this far and miss it. Do you, brethren? Amen. I want to be in it. Now notice, none shall be weary. Glory.
Hallelujah.
Amen. I don't care what your age is. You can renew your youth as an eagle. Amen. Nor stumble. No more stumbling blocks among them. None shall slumber. Nor sleep. No foolish virgin in this people. Neither shall the girdle of their loins be loose. God's going to run a tight ship, and your girdle will be killing you. Amen. Nor the latchet of their shoes be broken. Whose arrows. Now look at this. Look at the warfare. Whose arrows are sharp. Their bows bent the horse. Now notice. Their horses' hoofs. Here's the horses. Shall be counted like flint, and their wheels like a whirlwind. Their roaring shall be like a what?
Lion.
How many know the lion's going to roar through them?
Amen.
We need the lamb nature when we deal with people, but we need the lion nature when we deal with our enemy. They shall roar like young lions. Yea, they shall roar. They shall lay hold on the prey and shall carry it away safe, and none shall deliver it, and so forth. Praise God. So God is going to call. God's going to whistle for this great army that He's raising up. Amen? Praise God. So I said a while ago in Revelation 12, 5, the Lord said to me, He wants Revelation 11, 3, I'm going to give them power over the nations and to go forth and do the work of the Lord during that time of tribulation. And I do believe the great works are coming in the midst of great tribulation. Amen? The great anointing, great power of God will work during that great time of tribulation.
Yes.
I know most of the church is looking to be taken out today, but it won't happen today. How many know that's true? Let me show you that in Psalms 110. Then I got to come back to the New Testament. Psalms 110.
Let's go there, please. Praise the Lord. Psalms 110. This fly don't like me up here. Psalms 110. It said, the Lord said unto my Lord, Jehovah said to Jesus, Father said to the Son, sit thou at my, come on, right hand. Where is he, brethren? He's there, isn't he? How long? Until, which is a time word, until what? I make thine enemies, come on, thy footstool. What's the foot for? I mean, what's the footstool for? Put your feet on it. I mean, no, God's got a feet company. Come on. Amen. Now, he said, I'm going to put those enemies under your footstool. Amen. Under your feet. God's going to bruise Satan under our feet. Look in Revelation 10. Look in Revelation 10. Let's see this feet. Hallelujah. Revelation 10. And John sees another mighty angel. If he sees another one, he had seen one before, hadn't he? And notice he came down from heaven clothed with a cloud, the glory of God. Rainbow was up on his head. That's Revelation 4. John saw it over the throne there. His face was as it were the sun. I mean, no, that's a transfiguration John saw. It's shone as the sun. Notice his feet. His feet like what? Pillars of fire. Let's go back to Revelation 3:10. Revelation, 3:12. Him that overcometh will I make something. A pillar in the temple of my God. He shall go no more out. I will write upon him the name or the nature of my God, the nature or the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven for my God, and I will write upon him my new name. Pillars in the temple. Now, John saw here, he saw this one clothed with the cloud, the rainbow over his head, his face shone as the sun, and his feet like pillars of fire. John saw that in chapter 1. Not only was that Jesus, but he saw the body of Christ. I mean, John saw a picture of Jesus, but he also saw the body. Amen. And those pillars of, those feet of fire there, pillars of fire, feet of pillars of fire, speaks of the church walking through tribulation. Walking through trouble, walking through affliction, walking through trials. I mean, no, we've got to walk through some things. Now look at verse 2. And he had in his hand a little book open. I want you to notice it's not a closed book, it's an open book. And he set his right foot where? Come on. On the sea. And he put his left foot on the earth. Right foot on the sea. Left foot on the earth. Now look in Revelation 13. We see this. Revelation 13, John saw a beast rise up out of the sea. Everybody see that verse 1? Then look down to verse 11. I beheld another beast, second beast, coming up out of the earth, which had two horns like a lamb. And we know that didn't happen. I mean, no, that's deception. And he spake like a dragon. He's got dragon breath. Now, John saw those feet. One touched the sea. One touched the earth. God has a feet company that will overcome the beast and the false prophet. Come on, at the end of this age. How many know that false prophet is a counterfeit to the Holy Ghost? Is that right? Let's look at this. Notice in verse 11. I beheld another beast coming out of the earth. And he had two horns like a lamb, spake as a dragon. And notice he exercised all the power of the first beast before him. He had this false prophet ministry has the same power as the first beast. The Holy Ghost has the same power as Jesus. Did you hear that? Yes, he does. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the positive now. Look at what else he says here. And notice, and them that were, dwell therein to worship the first beast whose deadly wound was healed. How many know the Holy Spirit calls us to worship worship Jesus? The Holy Spirit calls us to worship Jesus. Verse 13. He does great wonders so that he makes fire come down from heaven on the earth and the sight of men. How many know the Holy Ghost is not a show-off? But he works miracles to glorify God. Amen? And deceives them that dwell on the earth by the means of those miracles which he had power to do. The Holy Ghost does not deceive us. That they should make an image to the beast which had a wound by sword and did live. How many know the Holy Ghost is going to bring us into the image and likeness of Jesus and so forth. Praise God. Thank God for the minister of the Holy Ghost today, who glorifies Jesus. Amen. Now back in Revelation 10, we see that there was an open book, and this one put his foot on the sea and on the earth, representative of the end time people. God's raising up, I believe. Verse 3, cry with a loud voice, that's when a lion roareth. And he is a lion out of the tribe of Judah today. Hallelujah. And when he cried, seven thunders uttered their voices. Now, I don't know what the thunders represent. I've heard all kind of stuff. But how many know God wants to reveal those things to us? But the Son of Thunder speaking here, though. John. Hallelujah. Amen. And when the seven thunders uttered their voices, I was about to write, and I heard a voice from heaven saying to me, seal up those things which the seven thunders uttered, and write them not. And the angel which I saw stand upon the sea and upon the earth lifted up his hand to heaven and began to swear. There'll be time no longer. Verse 6, verse 7. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel. How many believe we're going to be changed? Come on, in a moment.
Yes.
Help me. In the twinkling of an eye. When?
The last trumpet.
Not, well, we're changed at the first two, but we're changed at the last. The last trumpet will bring the final change. And here in this verse, but in the days, notice the word days, days, days. It's not just 5 seconds the trumpet's blown, we're gone. Amen. That's what I was taught. But in the days of the voice of the seventh angel, when he shall begin to sound, the mystery of God, come on, should be what? Should be finished, as he hath declared to his servants, the prophets. And then John was told to take this little book, this little book that was in the hand of the angel, and to eat it up. Look down verse 9 now. It shall make thy belly bitter, but it shall be in thy mouth sweet as honey. And listen, at the end of this age, there are some things you've got to partake of that's bitter. But you've also got some sweetness too. Hallelujah. And when you get this word in you, how many know it is sweet? But to walk it out, come on, there's some bitterness. Amen. I don't mean we're to get bitter, but there are some things you go through. We've got to work out, come on, our own salvation with fear and trembling. Amen? Praise God. So he ate it up, and he said, he was told he would prophesy again. He's a picture of these two witnesses here that's going to come on the scene and minister. Now, go with me to two more scriptures. Go to Matthew 25. Praise God. I'm enjoying this. I can just keep going, Melvin. Hallelujah. Matthew 25. Praise God. Hallelujah. Three things I see in this whole chapter of Matthew 25. There's preparation, there's production, and perception. Three stories Jesus tells here. But in chapter 25, how many know somebody was wise and somebody was foolish? That word foolish means to be a blockhead. How many know we're all coming out of some of that? But we know that the cry to meet the bridegroom came. And verse 2 said, five of them were wise and five were foolish. And we know there is a wise minister and there's a foolish minister. The wise minister says, get prepared, amen, for his coming. Stay in his presence. Come on, get some oil. And the foolish, you know, they were saved and no doubt filled the Holy Ghost. But yet, they did not take the extra supply with them. If you're going to face midnight and you're going to face tribulation, you better have an extra supply of oil.
Right.
Same with me. Look at verse 4. But the wise took oil. Well, verse 3, excuse me. They that were foolish took their lamp, but took no oil with them. Now, your lamp is your spirit. And God, how many know God saves your spirit, fills your spirit with that oil? But then he said, the wise took oil in their vessel. The vessel's the soul. That's that mature realm. The vessel speaks of Christ ministering or overshadowing the soul. How many know that your soul really is a product of your spirit? That which God does in your spirit must filter up into your mind. Come on, will emotions and desire and change you. Isn't that right? Hallelujah. And they all slumbered and slept. We know that. Midnight the cry was made, go out to meet the bridegroom. They trimmed their lamps and so forth. Then verse 8, the foolish said to the wise, give us of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. The Martin says are going out. They were losing. They were leaking the oil. Now look at verse 9. The wise answered, saying, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go you rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. Now, we're told in the Scripture to buy oil. We're told in the Scripture to buy wine and milk. We're told to buy the gold, and we're told to buy the truth.
and sell it not. And here they're told to go out and buy the oil. How many know that's in the hour of tribulation? That's in the hour of trouble. Now look at verse 10. I believe verse 10 represents the man-child, represents the overcomers. Because in verse 10, and while they went to buy, during the time of darkness, the bridegroom came. Now that is not the literal coming of Jesus. This is not the literal coming of Jesus here, but it's Christ, I believe, coming in a people. Christ the bridegroom came, notice, and they that were what? Ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And that, to me, this is the first fruit. This is the remnant that God's raising up. How many know the wedding feast is on now? Read Matthew 22. There was a man that had a garment, didn't have a garment on. Remember that? And he was thrown out. If that had been heaven, he'd been raptured to heaven and God would throw him out of heaven. No, that takes place here on earth. The wedding feast is on now. It's taking place now. Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and what? If any man open up, I will come into him. Amen? Amen. That's it. Sup with him and he'll sup with me. That literally means have a supper with him. That's going on now. And somebody's enjoying supper with the Lord. Hallelujah. An evening meal. It means to dine out with, to have an evening meal with the Lord is what it literally means. How many know you can't get a gourmet dinner in a fast food restaurant? It won't work. Huh? We like the fast food, all of us. Come on. Now I want to give you one other scripture. Look in Luke 12. Hallelujah. Praise God. Luke. Praise the Lord. Luke chapter, I believe it's 12. Or is it 11? No, it's 11. I'm sorry, it's 11. Now look in verse 5. Now I'm looking at Revelation 12, Revelation 11, 3, Matthew 25, 10, and this scripture all together right here. Luke 11, 5. He said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall go to him at midnight? Now we saw midnight was there in Matthew 25. Here it is again. How many know it's the darkest hour of the night? But 1 second or 1 minute past midnight, you're on the slide down towards morning, aren't you? How many believe midnight's coming? And David talks about that midnight in Psalms 119, about a people rising at midnight and praising the Lord. And so it says, and say to him, friend, and notice the word friend in the King James is capitalized, lend me 3 loaves. How many know we need 3 loaves today? Come on. Passover, Pentecost, tabernacle, spirit, soul, body. Now, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine in his journey has come to me. I have nothing to set before him. And we know in the natural that'd be a disgrace. And he from within shall answer and say, trouble me not. The door is now shut. We saw that in Matthew 25, didn't we? My children are with me. Somebody's with him. You hear this? In bed, I cannot rise and give me. Somebody's on the inside of the door. Somebody's on the outside of the door. Somebody's in bed and somebody's not in bed. Somebody will come into a place of rest and intimacy with the Lord. He's not in bed with a harlot. These people are not in bed with a harlot. Come on. But they're in bed with Jesus. There's been a rest they have come into with the Lord. Amen? And it says here, and I say, though, to you, though he will not rise and give him, because he is his friend, yet because of his importunity, he will rise and give him as many as he needeth. Which means the door will swing open, and the bread shall be given. Hallelujah to others. Amen? But somebody was on the inside of that door. Somebody was in bed already. Praise the Lord. And I believe God has the first fruit people that's going to be there first. Amen? Praise God. I'm not putting anybody ahead of anybody, but I just believe that God is raising up a remnant that's hungry for Jesus. And we'll submit to God. Amen. And we'll obey the Holy Ghost.
Hallelujah.
Amen.
Glory to God. Amen.
How many want to be part of this people now?
Hallelujah, Lord.
How many know it's not automatic?
Hallelujah.
We've got to get our souls saved. Amen. We've got to get delivered. Come on. We've got to get our minds renewed. We've got to start thinking like Christ thinks. Amen. God's got to get the garbage out of us, the rubbish out of us. Praise God. I don't see how anybody can be a believer and not believe in deliverance. When we look at ourselves, can you say amen? Let's stand together, can we? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Father, we thank you that you are moving in the earth today, Lord. We thank you you're raising up an end-time army. Hallelujah. Of overcomers, Lord, who will overcome many obstacles, Lord, as you help them. And we thank you for your power to overcome. We know again, Lord, in our flesh and our natural ability, we cannot do these things. But God, we know by the power of the Holy Spirit and by the name of Jesus, hallelujah, that we shall be able to accomplish many of these feats, Lord, that we see this army doing in these scriptures, Lord. And Lord, I pray for everyone here today that's been predestined, Lord, for the man-child and the overcoming army, that God, you would give them special grace today and strength, Lord God, to overcome and to do those things you're to do. We pray for this camp meeting. We pray for the ministers again, Lord. Each one here, it's important. Everyone has a message, Lord God, from you. And I thank you for each one that the Holy Spirit will endow with wisdom and guidance, Lord. And those even ministers that are coming in from other places, that you would help them, Lord. That you would minister to and through them, Lord. I pray for the churches. I pray for the fellowships, Lord, that you would strengthen them, Lord. That you would, God, do a building there. Hallelujah. And a work of deliverance and healing, Lord, among the people, Lord. Tear down the works of the enemy in this camp, Lord, we pray. Tear down the works of the enemy, Lord. And bring forth the works of Christ, we ask, Lord. Lord, let these signs follow us as believers, Lord. Lord, you said we are to cast out devils. We are to speak with new tongues. Lord, we are to lay hands on the sick, Lord, and so forth. We thank you, Lord, that signs do follow us as believers. And we do believe you, Lord, to do it in this hour, in the mighty name of Jesus. We know, Lord, that you're not going to save our soul overnight. We know it's a process. And I thank you for the process that started. And I thank you, Lord, we've been justified in our spirit. We're being sanctified in our soul. And God, we shall be glorified in that day. Hallelujah. With you. I bless you, Lord. And I praise you, Lord. Amen. Amen. And amen. Brother Speed, the Lord says, I want to encourage you, my son, and to let you know that I put my truth within your breast. I put my truth within your heart. And the Lord has seen your walk life, and God is pleased, and God is going to help you. I've given you the tongue of the learned as well as the ear of the learned, saith the Spirit of God. So fret not and worry not. I put the belt of truth upon thee. And thou hast been not afraid to speak the truth. Thou hast not been fearful of man's face, for I protected and I kept thee. And God said, I'm going to reveal further revelation to your heart and to your mind in this hour of things to come. And I shall show you by vision and by revelation some things in the days ahead, the Lord says. So fear not and fret not. Know that God's with you. And God has put a special anointing upon you to speak of those things that you shall declare, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Let's give him praise. Let's give him praise. Let's give our Lord praise. Praise God. Praise God. Fern, the Lord has heard your cry. And your cry has come up before God as the cry of Israel came up before the Lord in their affliction. And God said, I've heard your affliction. And I've seen your tribulation. I've seen your turmoil and the hurts. And God said, I'm erasing and eradicating many of those things in this hour. And you have nothing to fear but fear itself, God says. So trust me and you'll see a change. You'll see a change not on your life, but you're going to see a change in your family and even friends round about thee. And others shall know that God has touched thee and that I shall give you health and strength for this hour. So believe and it shall be, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Come on, let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Praise his wonderful holy name. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. John, I just see the Lord has raised you up to be a pillar and a strong one there in Indiana where you are. And God said there are many going to come and going to fellowship with thee. I'm going to link you up with others across the land, saith the Lord. But I'm going to bring an increase to the fellowship. I'm going to bring an increase in your old life. And I'm going to cause you to hear and see new things by the Spirit of God. For your heart is right before the Lord. And God sees the hunger. And God sees the thirst. And he says, fret not. Know that I'm with thee. And that I stand with thee in this hour. And I give you that anointing that you need to minister life and deliverance to others, saith the Lord thy God. And the Lord has put healing in your hands, John. And the healing power of God is going to begin to flow. Even in a greater dimension, saith the Lord thy God. Hallelujah. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Let's praise him. Hallelujah. Praise him.
Praise God. Brother Jack, the Lord has seen your faithfulness. The Lord has seen your kindness and your goodness. And God has raised you up for this hour. And the Lord shall strengthen thy body. The Lord shall quicken you out of Zion. The Lord shall speak life to thee in the night season. And the Lord shall open your eye and you'll have an open vision. And thou shalt see new things, saith the Lord thy God. For thou hast been faithful, yea, even unto death, saith the Lord. And know that I shall give thee a crown of life. For the enemy has come to destroy, but God said, I've come to give you life and give you more life abundantly, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. 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 Blessed be the Lord God Almighty. Blessed be His wonderful name. Oh, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Sister right here, I see the joy of the Lord upon you. And God is putting His joy within you. He's doing a work. And I see that joy and gladness just bubbling up in your life today. And there's been a refreshing. I just see the Lord on your countenance. And God said, I'm going to increase as you go down. God said, I'm raising you up. And you'll hear new truths in me, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Oh, glory. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Lord, I pray for Brother Leroy as he ministers this afternoon. I just ask you to strengthen him. I ask you to quicken him and use him mightily, Lord. And open our hearts to receive. And Lord, I thank you for the food. I thank you for all the blessings in this camp. And we all said, amen. God bless you. You're dismissed. Praise the Lord.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home. Thank you.